Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.
Hello and welcome. I'm David Thornton, your host of this week's episode of Friends with Money. When volatility is high, investors try to protect their wealth by storing it in safe haven assets. Gold has historically been the preeminent safe haven asset. The more volatile the market, the better it performs. And today's climate seems made for gold. The economic roadmap out of the pandemic is riddled with question marks, from inflation and supply chain bottlenecks to a Chinese property market in cardiac arrest. Joining us today is Mark Burris, Executive Chairman of Yellow Brick Road, and he's going to take us through why he believes a gold allocation is a key element in a well-diversified investment portfolio. So, Mark, there's been a lot of talk recently of Bitcoin becoming the new gold. Is gold losing its identity to this new kid on the block?
There is a new kid on the block. That's a good question. And if you're talking about crypto and the so-called, or the reference to it being the digital gold, I don't accept that as a proposition. And I have to be really clear too, right, by the way. I'm not an advisor. I'm not an expert on gold or crypto for that matter. But I'm a markets guy and I invest in things and I follow trends. You know, I have these sorts of people on my own podcast for that matter. So, I got a fair idea about it, but I'm not out there trying to advise anyone. But let me comment on it. I see cryptocurrency, for example, as just another asset class in which you can place your money, invest into, with a view to making a profit or achieving another outcome that might protect you from something else. You know, you might be wanting to go into one of the cryptocurrencies to protect yourself against your investment in US dollars or Australian dollars or some other currency for that matter. I see gold as an additional asset class. It's an older, long-standing asset class that has proven and has stood at the test of time. It is a completely different asset class to crypto and performs differently and is largely used to achieve different outcomes. And from my point of view, I'm very interested in crypto. I used to have a negative view on crypto, but after a recent podcast I did with Fred Schibetzer recently, in fact, last week, I'm starting to get a little bit more admiration for crypto. So I'm just getting a little bit more interested in it and I may well invest in myself. But in relation to gold, either through shares in gold companies or holding the asset itself, that's something I've participated in for a long, long time.
But I mean, the two assets do share some similarities. I mean, proponents of cryptocurrency would argue that, like gold, its supply is finite and it's uncorrelated to other asset classes. So what does gold have that crypto does not?
Gold's got history for a start. And gold's got a lot more history and a lot bigger, deeper market in terms of participants in gold, including governments, which stockpile gold. And gold has been a standard against which currencies are measured for a long, long time. You're right, but every asset class has similarities in terms of behavior. I mean, shares have similar behaviors. Property has similar behaviors. You know, they're all have a certain level of volatility. They're all pretty much finite. I mean, you know, iron ore is finite too, and so is residential housing. It's finite as well. It's not unlimited. And there is demand and supply. The way I see it right now is because crypto is a new asset class. What I consider in terms of it's a new asset class in terms of its I don't want to say currency. I don't mean it being a currency, but in terms of how long it's been around, it also has a lot more volatility attached to it as well than, say, gold over shorter periods. I just say as an alternative. You just might think, I got a better handle on gold. I understand gold. I know it comes out of the ground. It's a hard asset. I feel more comfortable with that. Whereas crypto doesn't come out of the ground, it comes out of something else, the ether. I'm not comfortable with that. Or alternatively, I really love crypto because I love the fact that it's sticking up all the established currencies, and it's limited. And there's only a certain number of them being produced, and it's getting a lot of interest from a lot of heavy hitters around the world, and you know, including some of the big names. So I take your point, but I see similarities in every asset class. Just the similarities operate with different degrees. That's about it.
You mentioned before gold's role in terms of currency. Venezuela has recently replaced its national currency with crypto. Do you see that trend continuing?
That's a good question. I don't see that happening here in Australia. And I'd say countries like Venezuela, et cetera, that like have like 100% inflation or 150% inflation, generally speaking, have got some major issues in relation to the currency. And in particular, trying to peg it to anyone else's currency as well is a really difficult thing for them. So I can sort of understand why unstable currency nations may well want to make a change to crypto. But at the same time, I'm not interested in those environments. I'm only interested in, at a personal level, in more stable environments like US, China, Australia, UK, you know, sterling, euros, etc., as currencies. So I can't imagine any one of those would go and substitute their currency with crypto at the moment. And it doesn't mean that any one of those, you know, governments like Singapore, they could actually, their reserve bank or whatever, their equivalent to that, they could actually issue their own cryptocurrency at some stage too, by the way. And
I think the UK just did that.
And that's what I think
at least.
Yeah. I think that's what happened. Look, Bitcoin at the moment is very popular. You know, of course, it's got blockchain, but blockchain's available to anyone now. And, you know, and whilst it was unusual when Bitcoin first came out, the blockchain platform and protocols, now that's being adopted by and can be adopted by everyone and anywhere. Like ASX uses blockchain right now. So, and then they've acquired a whole lot of blockchain businesses. So I can see governments actually issuing their own form of cryptocurrency or digital currency using blockchain and using it as a sort of a hedge against the Bitcoins, et cetera, of the world, taking money out of this country, out of our system, and placing it somewhere else where they can't access it, where governments can't access it or can't see it.
So setting aside crypto for the moment, what is it about gold that make it so useful in an investment portfolio?
Well, and I think it's a really important point you make. It's part of a portfolio. So I don't see it as an asset class that you would have on its own or just by itself, unless you've got some sort of major thing for things that are really shiny and impressive. I see it as a percentage of your portfolio, and everyone's got a different percentage and depends on, you know, how you manage risk and how you view risk. But for me, I like it as a defensive asset class. So, you know, when wars start and when there's oil crises and when there's share markets are plunging, you know, any of which could happen at any time in this volatile world we live in, then something that tends to perform quite well in those environments, and let's call it a defensive play, is gold. And therefore, I see it as something that's important in building a portfolio as a percentage of your portfolio. And one thing that, I mean, we talk about volatility of cryptocurrency, we were talking about earlier, and we talk about volatility generally in markets. I would say one thing that is a fair statement is that volatility in the world, not in markets as much as, not in asset classes as much, it's just volatility in the world going forward is a thing that we're going to be confronted with all the time now. And volatility spooks investors. And investors tend to invest en masse today. It's very much a herd mentality, a lot of momentum investing, a lot of people invest because everyone else is doing it. And when the herd changes direction, you want to make sure you got something in your asset class, and you want to make sure you got an asset class in your portfolio that actually helps defend against that. And that's where gold comes in, and that's what it's done historically.
So, if gold is this great diversifier, obviously diversification is more than just having a different asset class in your portfolio. It's deeper than that. It's got to do with how correlated the asset is to other asset classes. So what are gold's correlations to equities, to volatility, et cetera?
if you're asking me for mathematical correlations and or statistical correlations, I mean, I'm not in a position to give that to you, but in a anecdotal and also from an observation point of view, generally speaking, there is a inverse correlation between equity markets increasing and gold prices staying stable. And then when equity markets plunge, and I don't mean like a 200 basis points in the Dow Jones or something like that. I'm talking about actual turnarounds of equity markets. When there's a negative sentiment in equity markets and equity markets continue to go down, there is an inverse correlation with gold price. So the gold price, the asset price actually tends to increase. It also, when there's threats of war, so when the world looks like it's on, Middle East, for example, it's historically a well-proven one, where Middle East looks like it's on tenterhooks and there's a drama going on in the Middle East, Iran, we could be talking about Saudi Arabia, we could be talking about Syria, and right now Afghanistan, the markets tend to want to go back to safety. And then that's when gold has a correlation to events happening in the world in relation to stability. So gold has an inverse relationship to share markets, equity markets, when they're going in reverse. And I'm not talking about the Australian market. I'm talking about, benchmark markets, like the Dow Jones or, American markets, the US market, which is the biggest market. And they also have a relationship or a correlation to global stability as well. And they tend to perform better when stability is being threatened.
So that role as a safe haven, I assume you have or have had exposure to gold. Do you maintain your gold exposure, or do you kind of titrate it depending on what markets are doing?
No, I maintain it. I'm a big investor in markets generally. That includes equity markets. My markets are things like commodity markets like gold, but it's also equities and property. So they're the markets I play in. I tend to, I don't go and rush out and buy gold because I think there's some instability arising I'm going to be able to take advantage of the correlation, negative correlation that's about to, or inverse correlation is about to occur because I think the market's about to fall off the perch. I tend to always have an investment in gold, either in the hard asset or through gold stocks right here in Australia. And in that regard, I tend to find, I go through my advisor who then actually looks at well-positioned gold stocks, both based on their historical ability to mine gold, not necessarily just explorers, and then also look to the performance of the entity that actually is producing the gold. And I'm not going to mention names of stocks, but I have reasonable investments in those entities, and I tend to just continue to buy into those environments as I increase my portfolio size as a percentage of my total portfolio. I tend to keep increasing those investments. I haven't been in a position, to be frank with you, where like we were in, say, 2008, when, 2009, I should say, when the stock market just absolutely crapped itself and went south as a result of the commencement of the GFC. I wasn't in gold at that point. But it's more since then I've been doing that. And I learned my lesson. And during that period, I was lucky. I actually got out of a lot of my equity stocks at the end of 2008, November 2008, because I got nervous about stuff. I did not go and buy gold then as a hedge. And I did get caught on one or two stocks in 2009. But I got caught significantly, in a relative sense, a material sense. I mean, for most people, it would be looked at as being material. Since that period, I have now gone more into the gold environment. Not immediately after, but from about 2011 on, I started to rebuild my portfolios, making sure that I had some gold in my portfolio.
Without naming specific stocks, why do you go for gold companies, at least on some occasions, rather than just holding the underlying physical gold?
Because I have a sort of a secondary market. That's the stock itself. It's not just reliant upon the gold market. The the secondary market can just take off for other reasons other than gold. It could be the fact that this is a better gold stock or a better company, a company that produces gold that is better than all the other companies because it's got better management, Or it might have more gold licenses, generally speaking, or it might be more successful at finding gold than all the other organizations. So it gets a better multiple against it. So it allows me to just get a little bit more upside. Equally, if I pick the wrong one, it can work the other way against you. But generally speaking, I try to look for advisors to tell me which ones I should be picking. But I do believe having exposure to gold, either directly in the physical sense or in a sense of some sort of derivative around gold, which, you know, is getting a bit out there for some investors, or alternatively, in the production company, the company that produces gold. And a lot of these companies that produce gold sometimes will produce other minerals as well. They will be exploring for other minerals. So you get a little bit of a balance in there as well.
So you're really killing two birds with one stone. You're getting exposure to the gold price, and then on top of that, you're getting exposure to the benefits of a well-run company, as you would with any stock in the market.
Correct. And it's just, for me, I'm just trying to leverage where I can. I mean, some people like leverage just by through derivatives, and that's the ultimate way to leverage. But that's not my territory because it's technical and quite complex for me, gold derivatives. And you've got to know a lot of stuff, and you've got to follow a lot of stuff, and you've got to have, you know, you've got to be on the chat, and you've got to be making sure that you're following everybody out there who's talking about it. And, you know, these days, I mean, we've seen it with COVID, these days you can easily get caught up in all the conspiracies. You know, like any of these commodities, especially where there's about stability, invite conspiracy. Invite conversations. Oh, Saudi Arabia is about to invade Syria or something like that, or, you know, etc. And I just actually want to avoid those things because I don't know where the truth is. No. I'm not talking that type of leverage. It is a type of leverage which I have done in the past, margins, but no, I'm just buying the stock itself with cash. I mean, I'm just paying for it. I don't need to do the margin type environment anymore. And you know, like margin loans are good. But in 2008 and 2009, I got caught out on some margins. You know, I had puts and calls and all sorts of things in place for some global stocks. You know, in those days, I would trade globally everywhere around the world. I was even trading. In India, I was trading synthetics against the Indian market out of New York, and it was pretty full on, and I was doing very well until the GFC hit, and all of a sudden everybody realized they can't get their money out of India, and India just crapped out big time, and as did all the synthetics, and you know, I lost a shitload of money in that one. I mean, relatively speaking, I'm talking about, you know, not significant amounts, but relatively speaking. So, yeah, I have done those margin deals, and I have done all sorts of puts and calls and synthetics, etc. But it can give you a bit of brain damage over time, and it's not for the faint-hearted either.
Very true. Just to finish up, Mark, give us your forecast for gold over the short, medium, and long term.
Long term, I like gold. But don't be watching, you know, the Channel 7 News or 10 or 10 News where they report to you the gold price. You go, it did move. Short term, I don't know. Short term depends on all sorts of things. And but long term, I think it's a good, safe asset class. There's plenty of places where you can access the buying of the hard asset class itself, like actually owning gold. You know, you go to Perth Mint if you want, that, you know, being the biggest in the country, by the way, being the only government guaranteed. I mean, this is quite crazy. I mean, one of the great things about gold, and this is a good one, And I think this is significant for people who may be listening to this. The thing about going in buying the hard asset from someone like Perth Mint and getting them to hold the gold, if you're buying the physical gold, in other words, store it for you, is that you've got an entity called Perth Mint, which is guaranteed by the West Australian government. Like, where else in the world do you get something government guaranteed? That's pretty out there. I'm a big fan of Perth Mint, and I'll declare it up front. I do work with Perth Mint, but I have to say the only reason I work with Perth Mint in relation to gold is because of the fact that it's such an unusual entity and it is government guaranteed. And I've never known any government guaranteed entity. I don't know any government guaranteed entity in the country. Even the banks aren't government guaranteed in Australia. I mean, the government's used to guarantee deposits that you have with the bank, but no government guarantees any bank in this country. there's an implied guarantee. This is a hard actual guarantee by the West Australian government. So therefore, my prognosis for gold over time is it is a very good defensive asset class today, not to be replaced by crypto or anything else. And if you're going to invest in gold and want the hard asset, one of the places that I go to is Perth Mint because it has a government guarantee. And it's a big deal.
Sounds like one of the only free lunches in finance. But I think one of the interesting things is people don't understand that they actually literally own the gold and it's held on their behalf, which is amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And you the consumer or the investor actually own the gold, and then someone at Perth Mint stores it for you, manages for you, make sure that no one goes and nicks it. And if they do nick it, they're going to guarantee it. Or even one more point. And this is important. If there's something wrong with the gold, if it has impurities, or the gold isn't at the standard that physical gold must be in order for it to be traded, but that's an important thing, then the government, West Australian government, stand by that guarantee because they're selling you something, and therefore you can be guaranteed the thing you bought. Because you can go and buy gold today in other markets, physical gold, but you don't actually know what you're buying. And even if you inspected it, you won't know. And even if I inspected a bar of gold, like an ounce of gold today, it looks good. I might think it's gold. I can hold my hands as it looks like gold because it's really heavy. If you hold this stuff, it's really, really heavy. But I still wouldn't know at the end of the day. And what's great is if you can sort of say, well, okay, well, this looks like gold, smells like gold, feels like gold. But what I feel really happy about is you're guaranteeing it. And what I'm really happy about is that you, Perth Mint, are guaranteeing it. And then I say, well, who are you, Perth Mint? Well, they say, we are guaranteed by the West Australian government. That'll do me if I'm going to actually hold the asset.
Mark, thanks very much for joining us on Friends with Money. This has been a great chat.
You're most welcome. Good to talk to you.
That was Mark Boris, Executive Chairman of Yellow Brick Road. Thanks for joining us today. And remember, you can follow Friends with Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au.